Today, tariff noose tightens, even as investors buy riskier assets, but... Hello again, this is Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the latest posts covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update, where we start in the US, across to Europe and Asia, and then in Australia, and we cover commodities and crypto along the way. Investors are aggressively buying into riskier assets, sending Bitcoin and companies focused on AI to new highs as they shrug off months of uncertainty caused by the Trump administration's policies. Yet, the World Bank last month cut its global growth forecast for 2025 by 0.4 percentage point to 2.3%, saying that higher tariffs and heightened uncertainty posed a significant headwind for nearly all economies. Following the April 2nd tariff day, institutional investors retreated to safe havens like gold and hoarding cash amid months of share market turmoil. But now, April's Liberation Day tariff announcements have been replaced by a scattergun application of levies on trading partners large and small, right ahead of the second quarter earnings season, which may yield the first clues about how severe the hit to corporate profits could be. But both the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ closed at new highs on Thursday, buoyed partly by better-than-expected corporate earnings and a big lift in NVIDIA, the AI-focused chipmaker that became the first company in the world to reach a market cap of $4 trillion US dollars earlier in the week. A bipartisan pair of US senators, by the way, sent a letter to NVIDIA about an upcoming trip to China, warning the CEO to refrain from meeting with companies that are suspected of undermining US chip export controls. We are worried that your trip to the PRC could legitimize companies that cooperate closely with the Chinese military or involve discussing exploitable gaps in US export controls, the senators wrote. Anyway, overall, it appears fund managers have become increasingly inured to the stream of announcements from US President Donald Trump. This week, he suggested 35% tariffs on Canada, 200% tariffs in pharmaceutical, and a new levy on Brazil, because he didn't like how a right-wing politician was being treated. And they're therefore piling into Wall Street and other markets. The MSCI Global Index ended the week at 922.56, just a little below its all-time highs, while the European Stoxx 600 fell 1.01% on Friday, just off all-time highs, having reached UBS's 2025 price target of 550, though the firm maintains a 2026 price target of 590, implying a 7% upside from current levels, with a forward price-to-earnings ratio of nearly 15 times, a level that they say they consider to be reasonable heading into year-end, reflecting expectations of growth acceleration in the coming years. The ASX 200 in Australia was also near record levels on Friday, although it slipped 0.2% to 8,575 in the early afternoon. And Bitcoin, an indicator of a risk appetite, was also up, going up 25% this year, actually, to $117,700. Most investors expect cuts in interest rates both in Australia and the US, despite concerns from economists that tariffs will fuel inflation. While the Federal Reserve has held rates steady since December, minutes from the US Central Bank suggests most participants assume a rate cut later in the year. Trump has in the last month ramped up pressure on the Fed Chairman Jerome Powell to resign or to begin cutting interest rates more aggressively. And there's a release from the chairman of the US Federal Housing Finance Agency claiming that Fed Chair Jerome Powell is considering resigning, calling it a right decision, as Trump is now calling for 3% worth of rate cuts. Underlying those market movements are three assumptions. First, markets are complacent that the chance of big tariffs was overblown, buying into the so-called taco trade, a bet that Trump will always back down from his announcements. Second, markets thought the worst of the conflict in the Middle East is over and were confident they could weather any new deterioration. And finally, markets were less worried about the US government's budget position, there was a notable muted response from the bond market to Trump's big, beautiful bill, despite its impact on the budget deficit. Investors are wired firmly into the FOMO mindset, or a fear of missing the dip, and a faith in the market's ability to bounce back has taken hold, creating a somewhat self-fulfilling prophecy. Now, I was around through the 2008 global financial crisis, and so I can remember that this strategy does not always work. I wonder if the memory of this period may be fading for many younger investors who are now increasingly using passive investing strategies and tying their returns to the index rather than individual companies. But there are some risks here to consider. On Friday, US stocks lost ground, albeit modestly, after President Donald Trump made clear that he will continue to threaten allies and foes with higher tariffs, reviving uncertainty about what lies ahead. Higher tariffs ultimately increase the risk for economic growth, and strategists say that's perhaps not yet reflected in markets, as Trump's August 1 deadline comes into sight. The higher tariffs go, the more the US risks adverse outcomes for activity and employment, Morgan Stanley said. We do not believe that we are there yet and retain our view for a slow growth, firm inflation outlook, but time will tell. Then, in a note this week, Apollo Global Chief Economist Torsten Slot flagged his concern that the tech sector's renewed dominance of the US markets is an issue. The extreme index concentration in tech is obviously not good for investors seeking to diversify their investments across 500 different companies. Anyone investing in the S&P 500 index today is basically making a bet on the Magnificent Seven stocks propelling even higher, even if the PEs are, well, massively high. In terms of rate cuts, the Federal Reserve is widely expected to hold rates when the policymakers meet late in July and potentially September, as they await more data on whether the August tariffs will push inflation higher. Now, I note, if you use the latest fertilizer prices as a proxy for food prices with, say, a six-month lead time, US food CPI could rise from here, underscoring the Fed's view of an uncertain inflation outlook. And on earnings, in a Friday note, John Butters, a senior equity analyst at FactSet, said the earlier results for the June quarter were weaker than average. Overall, the index is reporting lower earnings for the second quarter today relative to the end of last week and relative to the end of the quarter. More broadly, global markets are telling conflicting stories about the possible longer-term impact of US tariffs on growth, a schism that investors could say mean either stocks or bonds could see a steep correction once it's clear which is right, whenever that'll be. Yet, the data has been too strong to justify an aggressive loosening of monetary policy and too soft to argue that tariffs are having no effect. US employment figures show the economy is still creating jobs at a firm clip, while business activity surveys show factories and services are flagging. In the meantime, Trump's landmark tax cut and spending bill will add an extra $3.3 trillion to the national deficit. Benchmark 10-year US Treasury yields retreated from January's 15-month peak at 4.8% to 4.41%. But while Trump's tariff cut bill might offset some of the impact of tariffs, the extra debt that it could take to fund those cuts could drive the 10-year Treasury yield to 5% in the coming 3 months, a level that policymakers worry about, given its impact on households, companies, and the government. On Friday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average declined 0.63%, while the S&P 500 lost 0.33%, and the Nasdaq Composite was down 0.22%. The Volatility Index was up 3.93% to 1640. Gold futures for August delivery was up 1.34% to 3,370.30, while crude oil for delivery in August rose 3.06% to $68.74 a barrel, and the September Brent oil contract rose 2.72% to $70.63 a barrel. The US dollar index futures was up 0.29% to 97.87. The euro US dollar was down slightly to 1.169, while the US dollar Japanese yen rose 0.2 0.82% to 147.43. Canada's main stock index settled lower on Friday after US President Donald Trump ramped up his trade war with one of his country's biggest trading partners. The S&P/TSX composite was down 0.22% to 27,023. Trump told Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney in a letter released on his social media platform the new rate would go into effect on August the 1st and would go up if Canada retaliated. The 35% tariff is an increase from the current 25% rate that Trump had previously assigned to Canada, although an exclusion for goods covered by the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement on Trade was expected to stay in place, and 10% tariffs on energy and fertilizer were also not set to change. Canada is the second largest US trading partner after Mexico and the largest buyer of US exports. It bought $349 billion worth of US goods last year and exported $412 billion to the US. That's according to the US Census Bureau data. European stocks fell on Friday after US President Donald Trump's announcement on Canada, raising concerns that the European Union might be next to incur his displeasure. EU Trade Chief Markus Šefčovič said recently good progress had been made on a framework trade agreement, but a deal has yet to be signed and Trump's patience could be tested. The DAX index in Germany dropped 0.9%, the CAC 40 in France slipped 0.9%, and the FTSE 100 in the UK fell 0.4%, having reached a new high earlier in the week. On the economic data front, consumer price inflation in France rose 0.9% in June, revised up from a previous preliminary reading of 0.8% and slightly above analysts' expectations. That followed German inflation easing to 2% in June, suggesting the ECB has plenty of room to cut monetary policy further, probably in September, to boost the region's economy. In June, the ECB slashed borrowing costs for the eighth time in a year, bringing its key deposit rate down by 25 basis points to 2%. The 10-year German Bund yield has limited room to decline in the coming months as European Central Bank rate cuts are approaching their end, though, according to UniCredit Investment Institute, saying that markets are already pricing in the conclusion of the ECB's interest rate cutting cycle. The Bank of England may also soon have to cut rates as well after Britain's economy contracted unexpectedly for a second month running in May. Data released earlier on Friday by the Office of National Statistics showed that the UK gross domestic product fell by 0.1% in May on a monthly basis. That followed a contraction of 0.3% in April, which was the biggest decline since October 2023. The disappointing figures have intensified pressure on Chancellor Rachel Reeves and sparked concerns that the UK economy could be heading towards a quarterly contraction, potentially derailing the Labour government's central promise to kickstart economic growth after a promising start to 2025. Latest economic data reveals a troubling pattern of declining output, which has caught economists and policymakers off guard. Manufacturing output plunged by 1% in May, marking the steepest decline since July 2024, while construction activity fell 0.6% after a brief recovery in April. Only the services sector provided a glimmer of hope, expanding by just 0.1%, thanks to strong performance from legal firms and computer programming, though this was insufficient to offset the broader economic weakness. The consecutive monthly contractions represents a stark reversal from the UK's robust first quarter performance when it outpaced the other G7 economies with rapid expansion. The economic slowdown appears closely linked to external pressures, particularly the impact of US President Donald Trump's tariff policies that took effect in April, and much of the UK's early 2025 growth surge was actually attributed to manufacturers rushing to fulfil orders before the tariff deadline, creating an artificial boost that has since dissipated. Additionally, a temporary tax break for home purchases that expired in April had provided another short-term stimulus that is no longer supporting economic activity. Those factors have left the underlying economy more vulnerable than initially apparent, exposing structural weaknesses that the government must now address. The implications for the UK's economic trajectory are actually very significant, with experts warning that a June GDP decline of 0.4% or worse would signal an overall quarterly contraction. This scenario would represent a major setback for Prime Minister Keir Starmer's Labour government, which has made economic growth its top priority after a year in office. The disappointing data has already prompted speculation that Chancellor Reeves may need to raise taxes again in her next budget, despite previous hopes to avoid such measures, while also boosting expectations for an August interest rate cut by the Bank of England. Government bond yields reflects this shifting outlook, with UK 10-year yields at 4.63% compared to 4.4% for US equivalents, indicating continued pressure on UK fiscal conditions. And in company news, BP said its second quarter results might be hit by lower gas and oil prices, though its production is expected to be higher. BP shares rose 1.3%. Most Asian stocks trod water on Friday amid fresh concerns over US trade tariffs after President Donald Trump announced steep duties against Canada, while Chinese markets outperformed on bets of more stimulus measures. China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite Indices rose 0.7% and 0.6% respectively, while Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index added 1.6%. All three were up between 1.6% and 2.5% across the week. Stocks were buoyed by buying into sectors most likely to benefit from more stimulus measures, such as consumer goods and industrials. Bets on more Chinese stimulus measures were furthered by middling inflation data released earlier in the week. Sentiment towards Hong Kong was boosted by Goldman Sachs upgrading its rating on the region to market weight, citing expectations of easing monetary policy and lower US tariffs than initially feared. Biotechnology major WuXi AppleTech Co. soared 10.5% after it forecast a sharp increase in its profit for the first half of 2025. That stock was at the top of the performance on the Hang Seng Index. Major Hong Kong technology stocks also clocked strong gains, tracking an overnight rise in their US peers after market darling Nvidia closed above the $4 trillion US valuation mark. Tech shares remained underpinned by optimism over sustained AI demand going into the second half of 2025. Tech gains saw South Korea's KOSPI vastly outpace its regional peers this week with an overall 4% bounce, but the index did fall slightly on Friday. Japan's Nikkei 225 and TOPIX indices fell between 0.1% and 0.3%, while at the close, India's Nifty 50 lost 0.81%, while the Indian VIX was up 1.71% to 11.87. The Australian share market seesawed on Friday as a rally in mining stocks was offset by losses across the real estate, technology and retail sectors. The ASX 200 rose above the psychologically important 8,600 point in the opening minutes of trading, but closed down 9.1 points or 0.1% to 8,580. That extended the benchmark's weekly decline to 0.3%. Material stocks were the only bright spot on Friday as iron ore futures in Singapore rallied to a two-month high close to $100 a tonne. Rio Tinto rose 2.3% to 111.10, BHP firmed 2.8% to 39.36, and Fortescue added 2.9% to $16.98. We've had a pretty hawkish week of tariff headlines. There's still a lot of uncertainty out there, which is making it hard to get a firm grip above that 8,600 mark, said IG market analyst Tony Sycamore. But it was about time the miners did some heavy lifting. I'm not surprised, given the Chinese CPI data was of better ilk. It suggests some of those stimulus measures may be helping to break that consumer deflationary spiral we've seen in the past few months. Rare earth stocks also surged after the US Department of Defense agreed to take a 15% share in US producer MP Materials, rocketing its shares 50% higher on the ASX. Lynas rallied 16.7% to $9.67, and Iluka Resources jumped 22.9% to $4.89. The real estate sector was the biggest laggard on Friday after gaining in previous sessions. Goodman Group fell 1.8% to $3.74. GPT dropped 1.4% to $5.01. And Centre Group lost 1.3% to $3.70. Tech stocks were also hit by heightened tariff concerns, with Xero easing 1.5% to $3.83. Technology One fell 2.5% to $39.49. And Live360 declined 1.5% to $30.30. In corporate news, Johns Lyng leapt 22.6% to $3.90 after agreeing to sell itself to Pacific Equity Partners in a deal that values the building services business at $1.3 billion. Lithium producer IGO firmed 1.8% to $4.60 on the news the company will withdraw from its Fraser Range joint venture with Carawine Resources, which fell 2.1% to 9.5 cents. Ventia Services dropped 1.9% to $5.12, despite announcing that it secured an amendment to its new fiber upgrade contract with NBN, which is expected to add $280 million in revenues over the next 3 to 4 years. And Australian Strategic Minerals jumped 8.4% to 58 cents after it released a scoping study that removes more than $900 million in costs from its Dubbo project. Bitcoin reached a new high this week of 117,890, taking its gains for the year to 26%. The digital asset has surged nearly 41% in the last 3 months as crypto investors are betting that a slew of long-sought policy wins for the industry expected next week could invite new investment in the asset class, as members of Congress are set to vote on the Genius Act, the Clarity Act, and the Anti-CBDC Surveillance State Act during what's called Crypto Week, as the industry's strained ties with Washington continue to thaw. This includes a regulatory framework for stablecoins after Trump subsequently approves it. Stablecoins are a type of cryptocurrency designed to maintain a constant value, usually a one-to-one dollar peg, are commonly used by crypto traders to move funds between tokens. Their use has grown rapidly in recent years, and proponents say they could be used to send payments instantly. The Genius Act received bipartisan support in the Senate, with several Democrats joining most Republicans to back the proposed federal rules. It's expected to pass the House and would then head to Trump, who has said he will sign the bill into law. The bill would require tokens to be backed by liquid assets such as US dollars and short-term treasury bills, and for insurers to publicly disclose the composition of their reserves on a monthly basis. Crypto proponents say these rules could legitimize stablecoins, making banks, retailers, and consumers more comfortable with using them to transfer funds. Even if final passage stalls, the optics of legislative engagement are bullish, said Jake Kuhner, head of derivatives at crypto exchange Bitfinex. The House next week is also expected to pass a bill that aims to develop a regulatory regime for cryptocurrencies and would expand the Commodities Futures Trading Commission's oversight of the digital asset industry. That bill, called the Clarity Act, has yet to be considered in the Senate, where it would need to pass before heading to Trump for final approval. If signed into law, the bill would define when a cryptocurrency is a security or a commodity and clarify the Securities and Exchange Commission's jurisdiction over the sector, something crypto companies disputed during the Biden administration. Crypto companies have argued that most crypto tokens should be classified as commodities instead of securities, which would enable platforms to more easily offer those tokens to their customers. However, as crypto gets embedded in the traditional financial system, some analysts warn the hype may be outpacing reality. The regulatory backdrop has supported prices and attention has turned to Bitcoin's role in portfolios, and some likening the crypto asset to digital gold. This moniker is likely premature, said Dirk Willer, Citi's global head of macro asset allocation and emerging market strategy. With likely volatility ahead, some analysts have cautioned investors to pause and weigh their time horizons before jumping in. It's hard not to be optimistic about Bitcoin at this moment in time, but the risk of a fall in price or short-term pullbacks that exists, said Simon Peters, crypto analyst at online brokerage eToro. Bitcoin surge triggered a broader rally in the crypto market too, with strong and sustained inflows into the related spot exchange traded funds driving prices higher. With crypto miners Riot Platforms, Hut 8, and Mara Holdings gaining somewhere between 0.7 and 1.6%. Rising confidence in Bitcoin is resulting in investors chasing higher returns in smaller tokens too. Ether, the second largest token, was last up 5.13%, while XRP and Solana gained 9.7 and 0.8% respectively. The sector's total market cap has now swelled to about $3.67 trillion, according to the latest from CoinMarket. Critics have argued that Trump's administration is conceding too much to the crypto industry at the expense of protecting consumers and retail investors. I'm concerned that what my Republican colleagues are aiming for is another industry handout that gives the crypto lobby exactly its wish list, Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren said this week. Trump has faced criticism from political rivals and ethical experts over the potential for conflicts of interest regarding his family's crypto ventures, though the White House has said that there are no conflicts of interest present for Trump and his assets are in a trust managed by his children. But you can see here that we are in bubbly territory still. The risks continue to build. And so while markets are going to continue to drive higher ahead, I think the uncertainty level is off the scale. And there are certainly some signs of risk bubbling on below the surface. So as always, caution is the watchword. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.